and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest Natural Home, located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in toxin-free, customizable natural mattresses, bedding, and sustainably made furniture. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
43 degrees in Lawrence, 48 in Topeka. The time is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. We are always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thank you for joining us this evening. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30, immediately followed by a snapshot of ICE actions around Minneapolis and St. Paul today. There were many. A little spoiler alert there. Tell you what has been going on today. What are the most recent developments? We are also going to check in with NPR's Life Kit team for tips on how to build your sense of community in your area. It's all coming up here on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Do you happen to like parties? Do you like going to parties? I have good news for you. KPR's Retro Cocktail Hour is throwing a bunch of parties over 2 days, February 27th and 28th. They include concerts by the Los Angeles band Nutty and Lawrence's own band Exotica Cocktail. You'll find the schedule and tickets at kansaspublicradio.org, or you can just get your tickets now at Liberty Hall or Ticketmaster. Join us February 27th and 28th for a party weekend with the Retro Cocktail Hour.
Support for KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, reminding listeners to visit a dentist regularly. Dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find.
It's 43 degrees in Lawrence, 47 in Emporia. It's 6:20.
The Supreme Court is hearing arguments in two cases that test laws banning transgender people from participating in women's sports at public schools.
Biological differences between men and women matter on the athletic field.
The debate over transgender participation in sports tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us beginning at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Lots of opportunities to catch Morning Edition on your KPR stations. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
Stay tuned. News headlines coming up in less than a minute. It's 43 degrees in Lawrence and 43 in Manhattan. It's 6:30.
Video of an ICE agent shooting and killing Renee Macklin Good in her car in Minneapolis. For NPR News, I'm Scott Massioni in Baltimore.
And you're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly's office says the federal government's request for data on food benefit recipients could be shared with foreign governments. Dylan Lyson has the story.
Kansas is one of more than 20 states challenging the federal government's request. State officials say it amounts to federal overreach. The governor's office says a provision allows the data to be shared with foreign governments, and there's no reason that should happen. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has requested the personal information of Kansans who have applied for food assistance, including Social Security numbers and birth dates. Kansas is withholding the data. State officials have said turning over the information would violate recipient privacy. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
State of Kansas has the highest confirmed number of bird flu infections in the nation. That includes cases of the disease in commercial and backyard flocks. Beck Shackelford-Wanganga has more.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, more than 400,000 Kansas birds are affected by highly pathogenic avian influenza. There are outbreaks in 4 Kansas commercial flocks and 6 backyard flocks. 380,000 of the birds are from a commercial egg-laying flock in Pottawatomie. 65 total flocks in the U.S. have confirmed cases. The federal government has recorded 71 human cases of the bird flu. None were in Kansas. The CDC's website says the risk to the public remains low. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford-Wanganga.
Johnson County is threatening to sue a man who demanded a recount over a ballot question in Prairie Village in the last election. Sam Zeff has that story.
The question was whether Prairie Village should abandon its mayor-council form of government. Voters rejected the plan by 30 points. Still, one of the plan's chief backers, John Cantrell, paid for a hand recount. The recount resulted in the same outcome, meaning Cantrell owed the county $4,800. But the county says Cantrell reneged on the payment. In a letter sent Thursday, the county said Cantrell reversed the credit card payment, quote, without any legal basis to do so. Cantrell has until February 6th to make payment. He did not return a phone call seeking comment. I'm Sam Zeff.
Lows in the lower 30s tonight, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the lower 60s. You're listening to KPR.
Support for NPR comes from...
This is NPR News.
Winter is here, and it won't be going anywhere for a while. So why not warm up with stories that take you places?
Butterflies hover over the purple lavender flowers.
And guests that aren't afraid to turn up the heat.
You must keep it at all times above 140 degrees Fahrenheit.
Stay toasty and informed every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow from 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Jay Schaefer will have your local news tomorrow. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence, we have a whole lot of frequencies thanks to the generous contributions of listeners like you. And you can see those listed at kansaspublicradio.org, where we are also always streaming 24 hours a day, both KPR1 and KPR2 services.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
We still have 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One station, stick around at 7:01 for an update of news headlines. Then it's Stardate, then classical music coming your way tonight till 9 o'clock. Then it's Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stick around for a rebroadcast of this week's This American Life.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the Takash Quartet with pianist Joyce Yang, Tuesday, January 20th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
It's 43 degrees in Lawrence, 56 in Chanute. It's 10 minutes before 7.
This is...
Things Considered is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. Like a story you heard on this or another NPR program? Share it with a friend at npr.org. While there, you can also hear stories you missed, enjoy expanded content, or connect to your favorite member station, wherever you are. Get the NPR app for your mobile device. You can also lean back and enjoy npr.org, optimized for the iPad. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Progressive Insurance with its Name Your Price tool, a way to see coverage options based on a driver's budget. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. From Melville Charitable Trust, committed to ensuring all people have a safe, stable, and affordable home that allows them to thrive. Information about ways to prevent and solve homelessness is at melvilletrust.org. And from Odoo, maker of business management software with the goal of promoting growth and scaling businesses with efficiency. Learn more about Odoo at odoo.com. This is NPR.
New year, new beginnings, new stories. Wherever 2026 takes us, Morning Edition from NPR News will be there. Stay informed with us every weekday.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the Takash Quartet with pianist Joyce Yang, Tuesday, January 20th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu.
Stay tuned. We have an hour of classical music coming up with Steve Seal. Then at 8 o'clock, it's Classics Live, followed by Jazz in the Night, beginning at 9 o'clock. Mostly clear skies tonight with a low in the lower 30s. Sunshine tomorrow, highs in the lower 60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening, clearing out after midnight. Lows tomorrow night in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny on Wednesday and cooler with a high topping out in the lower 40s. It's 43 degrees in Lawrence. It is 46 in Topeka. It's 7:01. And the news is next. This is KPR. Have a good night.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Former Treasury Secretaries, economists, and central bankers are warning that the Justice Department's investigation of the Federal Reserve could backfire. NPR's Scott Horsley reports they say it could bring higher inflation and a weaker economy.
The group is speaking out after word the Justice Department served subpoenas on the Fed last week, seeking information about its costly headquarters renovation and Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's testimony about it. Powell says the probe is part of a long-running pressure campaign by the Trump administration designed to intimidate the central bank and force it to adopt much lower interest rates. The bipartisan group of economic officials warns that's how monetary policy is typically made in much less developed countries with weak institutions. They argue such tactics have no place in the United States, where the rule of law is a great source of strength and economic success. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump says he's inclined to keep ExxonMobil out of Venezuela after its top executive was skeptical about investing in the country after the toppling of former President Nicolas Maduro. ExxonMobil CEO Darren Woods called the country uninvestable. Trump says he didn't like Exxon's response and that, quote, they're playing too cute. President Trump says he may talk with Elon Musk about restoring internet to Iran, where the authorities have cut off internet access as they crack down on massive anti-government protests. NPR's John Ruich has more.
Among other things, Elon Musk is founder and owner of the aerospace company SpaceX, which runs Starlink. It has a constellation of thousands of satellites orbiting Earth that provide high-speed satellite internet in areas where traditional broadband doesn't exist. The protests in Iran began in late December over the collapse of the country's currency. The demonstrations have spread and grown, but the government has been cracking down. According to rights groups, there have been thousands of arrests and hundreds of people killed in recent days. The authorities have also shut down the internet, although there are reports that some people are able to access it using Starlink. John Ruich, NPR News.
A high-profile trial that could shape the future of abortion access in Missouri is now underway. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports.
In 2024, Missouri voters approved an amendment enshrining abortion rights in the state's constitution. But while a judge has put some previous abortion restrictions on hold, others remain on the books. The lawsuit by Planned Parenthood seeks to fully overturn the state's abortion ban, as well as several Missouri laws providers say restrict access. The state's attorneys argue those laws are necessary to keep patients safe. State officials say fewer than 150 abortions took place in the state's clinics in 2025, despite the constitutional change. It's likely the fight won't end with this lawsuit. Republican lawmakers in the state have voted to put another abortion ban on the November ballot. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Fenton in St. Louis.
Wall Street edged up to more records today. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Stardate, January 12th. Mighty Orion the Hunter has a mighty resting spot for his tired feet, Cursa, the second brightest star of Eridanus, the river. The star's name comes from a longer Arabic phrase meaning footstool of the central one, Orion himself. As night falls, the star stands above Orion's foot, Rigel, the hunter's brightest star. Cursa is about 90 light years away. It's easy to see from that distance because it's a giant. It's several times the size and mass of the Sun, and 45 times the Sun's brightness. Its classification as a giant tells us much more than just its size, though. It also tells us about its stage in life. A giant star has puffed up as a result of changes deep in its heart. It's burned through the hydrogen in its core to make helium, so it's moved into a new phase. In the case of Cursa, it's fusing hydrogen in a thin shell around the core. The shell is quite hot, so it produces a lot of radiation. That pushes on the surrounding layers of gas, causing the star to expand, and that makes it brighter. Today, the surface of Cursa is thousands of degrees hotter than the Sun's. At that temperature, the star shines almost pure white. As it continues to change, though, Cursa may get even bigger and brighter, but its surface will get cooler, so a bigger Cursa will shine redder, an angry-looking footstool for the hunter. Tomorrow, from giant to supergiant. You can find more about the stars in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Classical music on this Monday evening, the 12th of January. Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. Dare we hope for a better week this week? Well, let's do that and begin this first Monday night of the week with good music. Richard Strauss salutes the French composer François Couperin in his own large-scale orchestral piece honoring that composer in just a few minutes here. And there's clarinet music of 19th century Germany later on. And here, a Slavonic dance by Dvorak. That's the Slavonic Dance No. 6 by Antonín Dvořák, played there by the Czech Philharmonic, conducted by Jiří Bilalovic.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Theatre Lawrence, presenting The Cottage, showing January 30th through February 8th. Details at theaterlawrence.com. And Cromwell Environmental, providing solutions for mold, asbestos, and other indoor environmental quality issues since 1982, for clients ranging from private homeowners and realtors to corporations. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 52 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 30s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. It's 52 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Richard Strauss celebrated the music of the 18th century French composer François Couperin twice during the course of his career, first in the 1920s and then the early 1940s. He wrote this piece, his Divertimento after Couperin. And we'll listen to it played here by the New York Chamber Symphony, conducted by Gerard Schwartz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Strauss's Divertimento after Couperin, his piece saluting the 18th century French composer François Couperin, played there by the New York Chamber Symphony, conducted by Gerard Schwartz.
Hi, it's Daryl Brogdon. The Retro Cocktail Hour turns 30 this year, and we're throwing a bunch of parties to celebrate. On February 27th and 28th, hope you'll join us for two nights of live music, including Exotica Cocktail. And all the way from L.A., the band called Nutty.
Acting nutty, but I don't know why. Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Tickets for everything are on sale right now. Find the complete event schedule at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 53 and fair. Wind is from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 30s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid 30s. It's 53 and fair. That's KPR weather.
This is music of Carl Maria von Weber, his introduction theme and variations for clarinet and string quartet. Coleman Burks plays the clarinet here with the Hour Quartet. A delightful little piece there by Carl Maria von Weber, his Introduction, Theme, and Variations by von Weber. Kalman Burks playing the clarinet with the Auer Quartet. Our music tonight is supported in part by Legacy Box, dedicated to helping customers turn boxes with family videos and photos into memories that can be shared with generations to come. More at legacybox.com. And, of course, thanks as well to you. You make all this music possible, and thank you.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 53 and fair. Wind is from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 30s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid 30s. It's 53 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Why did Beethoven throw the stew? Why did Handel waggle his wig? I myself never knew either of those things even happened, but apparently not only did they, but those questions are both titles of children's books by cellist Stephen Isserlis, who also tackles burning questions like, why did Tchaikovsky spit on a map of Europe? Why did Faure find a plate of spinach on his face? I think you can find all these books online. Well, coming up, we'll listen to Stephen Isserlis doing what he's best known for, which is blowing the cello. He'll be joined by another talented Steve, Stephen Huff, at the piano. This music of César Franck. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, your plus one here in the audience of the Polsky Theater in the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. The musical guests today in this Doreen Mirande professional recital series are two people who have a lot in common, Jeffrey and Karen Savage. They both play piano at UMKC, they're married, and their duo together is called 88 Squared. And the program looks really good. They'll be doing a two-piano fantasy. Lots of themes from The Wizard of Oz, not just Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Now Karen is stage right at a Steinway 9-foot grand, with another piano just like it, stage left, with Jeffrey, arranged so that they can see each other as they're facing each other. They're going to start with a non-allegro from Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances, Opus 45.
thank you very much for coming out today. It's wonderful to see such a great crowd. As you may have surmised from the program, the duo pieces that we're playing today are all transcriptions. So the Rachmaninoff that you heard, consistent with its title, Symphonic Dances, was originally written for a symphony orchestra. And the solo pieces that you're hearing today are drawn from a program that I've been playing in a few places this year so far. They are all impressionist pieces. I will play the Debussy first, but instead of the Ravel, I'd like to treat you with a little bit of Spanish impressionist music, a piece by Isaac Albéniz called Evocación. It's the first piece of his set of Iberia pieces, and this is a set of 12 pieces, and he actually titles them 12 new impressionist works. So we don't necessarily always think of Spanish music as impressionist, but it does use many of the same musical tools that the French impressionists did at the same time. So hope you enjoy these pieces by Debussy and Albéniz. Thank you.
Is by our colleague at UMKC, Sean Chen, and he is married to a violinist, Betty, in the KC Symphony. And after many years of hearing her play this, he was thinking, when we received a grant from UMKC to commission a few new works, he said, well, I really have been thinking this third sonata for solo violin by Isai would be a really interesting fit to try to explore the different harmonies. And his arrangement is so creative and brilliant, just like he is. And one of our missions as a duo is to, we don't have a large body of works compared to like string quartet or piano trios or piano quartets. So we've, over the years, commissioned a number of pieces. And I have to say, this is one of our, probably our favorite one, because he's a pianist and he understands how to play idiomatically and he understands different harmonies. So I see a few violinist friends out there will be interested to see what you think about the combination of the two piano arrangement. And we just are really grateful to Sean for being willing to make this for us. So this is the KC debut of it, right? And it was just written, I think, completed just over a year ago.
Again, you may not recognize these composers necessarily as impressionist. We don't think of American music being impressionist so much, but I think you will hear elements of that in both of these pieces. Perhaps the language itself more in the Griffiths, but I think the atmosphere and the color also in the Amy Beach piece. I just want to mention one other piece about one other aspect of the Amy Beach piece. If we have any ornithologists in the room, you will actually hear what Amy Beach transcribed as being the true call of the hermit thrush in this first piece. So she worked for many summers at the McDowell colonies. She composed there and loved to take walks in the woods. And she even makes a note at the bottom of the score of this piece that she transcribed these bird calls in the original key that the bird sang them. So I hope you enjoy these two pieces by Amy Beach and Charles Griffiths.
Thank you.
Wasn't that a great arrangement of tunes from Harold Arlen from The Wizard of Oz? We even heard the little Schumann piece, The Happy Farmer, or The Merry Peasant, from the scene set in Kansas, like Dorothy and Toto running from Miss Gulch, when Toto escapes the bicycle basket, and during the tornado sequence. It was arranged for two pianos by William Hertz. We've been enjoying a great concert from the Kansas City Piano Duo, 88 Squared. The 88 Squared Piano Duo is Karen and Jeff Savage. Both are pianists at UMKC. They are popular guests here in this series at the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts here in Johnson County Community College. KPR's recording engineer, Chuck Smith, recorded this recital for Classics Live, so we could share it with you. I'm your Classics Live producer, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. the romance Opus 37 by Camille Saint-Saëns, recorded in KPR's live performance studio with flutist Annie Ganoyak and pianist Ellen Summer. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
It's Layla Faldin. Look, I won't say that listening to Morning Edition makes you cool. I mean, I think that. But you might learn something that does.
One of the latest fitness fads involves wearing a weighted vest as you walk around.
Ed Sheeran has a new album that's bursting with international flavor.
The American Association of Orthodontists declared that braces have never been cooler.
Stay in the know with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The U.S. is urging American citizens in Iran to leave as massive street protests continue. Iran's government is cracking down hard on the demonstrations. The security forces have now killed several hundred people, according to human rights groups. NPR's Greg Myrie has more.
The traditional playbook is to unleash the Revolutionary Guards to crush the protests. That worked previously. It may work again, but it doesn't address the fundamental grievances on living standards, and that will keep eroding any support the regime might have left. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is 86. He's been in power 37 years. He's been good at holding power, but he's failed to meet the day-to-day needs of Iranians.
NPR's Greg Myrie reporting. Minnesota officials are suing the Trump administration over the immigration crackdown in the state. It comes after an ICE agent fatally shot and killed a 37-year-old woman in her car. Local officials say the enforcement action amounts to a federal invasion. Here's Minneapolis Democratic Mayor Jacob Frey.
What we are seeing right now is not normal immigration enforcement. We are not asking ICE not to do ICE things. We are asking this federal government to stop the unconstitutional conduct that is invading our streets each and every day.
The lawsuit alleges immigration agents interrogate residents about their citizenship without reason to believe they're in the U.S. illegally. Illinois and Chicago also filed a lawsuit today over the crackdown there. The two people shot in Portland, Oregon last week while fleeing a U.S. Border Patrol traffic stop are facing criminal charges. As Oregon Public Broadcasting's Conrad Wilson reports, both have been released from the hospital and into federal custody.
The U.S. Department of Justice charged Luis Nino Mancada for aggravated assault on a federal officer with a deadly or dangerous weapon and depredation of federal property. According to a charging document filed in court by the FBI, the immigration agents feared they could be hit by the truck he was driving. One agent fired two shots into the driver's side window. Yolanda Zambrano Contreras, the passenger in the vehicle, was also wounded. Court records show she was the target of the immigration operation. She's charged with illegal entry. The Department of Homeland Security says the two are connected to a Venezuelan gang. Court documents show the FBI has not found video of the incident. For NPR News, I'm Conrad Wilson in Portland.
The nonprofit Trevor Project received a $45 million gift from billionaire Mackenzie Scott at the end of 2025. The organization is known for running a hotline for LGBTQ plus youth. The gift comes after the Trump administration stopped providing specific support for gay, trans, and gender nonconforming young people who called the 988 National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Wall Street edged up to more records today. The S&P 500 and Dow both rose a tenth of a percent. This is NPR. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel says his administration is not in talks with the U.S. government. After the U.S. incursion into Venezuela, President Trump has said Cuba should make a deal before it's too late. He has not said what a deal would entail. Díaz-Canel says relations must be based on international law, not hostility or threats. Apple will use Google's AI technology to power its personal assistant Siri and other AI-related products. NPR's John Ruich reports this comes amid pressure on Apple by critics who think it's been slow to hop on the AI bandwagon.
Apple has been promising AI-enabled features in its products for months, but those plans have been hobbled by delays. Now the company is poised to team up with Google to use its Gemini AI technology, which is already among the world's most popular. In a joint statement, the companies say Google's technology provides, quote, the most capable foundation for Apple's underlying AI models. Critics have blasted Apple for being slow to develop and adopt AI. Companies like OpenAI, Anthropic, Meta, and Google have poured billions of dollars into developing AI models and chatbots, leaving Apple in the dust. Apple and Google say the tie-up is a multi-year collaboration, though the announcement did not disclose the terms. John Ruich, NPR News.
Monkeys are on the loose in St. Louis, and AI images are complicating the effort to find them. The vervet monkeys were first spotted last week near a park in the northern part of the city. The discovery prompted rumors, and then people started posting fake pictures of them. It's unclear who owns the monkeys, how they got loose, or exactly how many there are. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Moan, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
The music of drummer Brandon Sanders opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. He called that one Tales of Mississippi. And it's on his new album called Lasting Impression with a terrific band with him. Tenor saxophonist Stacy Dillard, vibist Warren Wolf, pianist Eric Scott Reed, bassist Eric Wheeler, Brandon Sanders. I'm Bob McWilliams, and what a treat it is to be able to share this music with you, and I so appreciate you joining me on this Monday evening. We've got, in about 20 minutes, a real jam out of the vinyl vaults. In fact, it was one of the records I got very early on when I was getting into jazz as a student at the University of Kansas around 76 or 77. It came out in 1971. It was vibraphonist Milt Jackson's album Sunflower on CTI Records. We'll be hearing from that. And we've also got two new ones in this next set, trumpeter Jason Charles, his debut album opening statement, and after that, a brand new one just in for the new year from saxophonist Gregory Groover Jr. Here's Jason Charles, the album opening statement, and his piece called Athens by Night.